This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
So our first scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, John 10, verses 11 through 21. And if you'll just follow along as I read. So Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
The scripture lesson this morning does not directly line up with the scripture reading. That's unusual, as those of you who are here frequently will notice. But I think this is an important sort of framing for the scripture reading, which is what I'll actually be talking about. So I'm about to read something and then not talk about it. You're going to hear this again in 3 weeks when the story actually has progressed to this point, and Jesus is, well, in 3 weeks, he's going to be getting ready for his death. And at that point, he's going to point back to what Paul read for us when he talked about laying down his life. And I may not have time to talk about these verses then, so you'll have to just sort of hold this and the previous part of the story all together in your mind. And I'm not preaching on this particular story today, not just because it's out of order, but because I'm going to focus on what Jesus said about himself today. So this is really presented as full disclosure for you. You will later be commanded to do this. So, from John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is talking to us about laying down our lives. He's talking to us about how he will lay down his life. And that phrase, laying down one's life, always brings to mind for me my friend Tom. Tom was a deeply, deeply faithful Presbyterian and a man of firmly held opinions, including opinions about this phrase, this idea of laying down one's life. Now, Tom was a devoted and wise elder in the church, and you had to be careful when he showed up for Bible study because you usually didn't have any control over what was going on in Bible study when Tom was there, even less than when it was just the Holy Spirit that showed up. If Tom also showed up, then there we went. Now, Tom was a retired Air Force pilot. It said so right on his license plate. And it had to say that on his license plate because he drove like he was still in the Air Force. Tom was a crash investigator in Vietnam. And so he knew something about self-sacrifice, which meant when he started talking about laying down one's life, I listened because he knew whereof he spoke. Tom was very clear that when we talk about laying down one's life, we are not talking about dying. He was very clear that there's a difference between laying down one's life and what he called laying down one's death. Because you could lay down your death how many times? Exactly once. Right? You had one opportunity to lay down your death for any particular cause or person, and most of the time, for most of us, we don't have a lot of control over exactly how that happens. Now, Jesus is the exception to that rule, right? But most of us don't have control over how we would lay down our death. But we do have a lot of control, most of us, most of the time, over how we would lay down our life. That everyday life that we participate in, that we share with each other, we get to decide what we're going to do with our life. And so the question becomes, for what do I lay down my life? For what am I laying down my life today and this week and each of the days and weeks that I have some measure of control over? Am I laying down my life for my own sake? Am I laying down my life for the sake of my neighbor? Am I laying down my life for what God is doing in me and in the world? Now, Jesus is talking about one of those life and death kinds of situations here in today's scripture reading. He is pointing ahead to that time when he will also lay down his death for the sake of the world. But I hear Tom's voice reminding me to think about how Jesus laid down his life as well. Those daily choices that are more about living than they are about dying. So Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. He says, the purpose of my life is to protect you from wolves. The purpose of Jesus' life is to protect us from those forces that would take our lives from us. Now, some of the wolves are really obvious, right? Some of the wolves are things like violence or hunger or illness or death. And then some of the wolves are a lot more hidden. Wolves like anger and mistrust and prejudice and despair. The wolves that tell us that our lives are not useful, our lives are not meaningful, that we don't have any kind of control or agency or purpose. Those are the wolves that consume us from the inside rather than from the outside, the ones that ultimately threaten to snatch us and scatter us and take us away from the life that God has intended for us. Now, Jesus is, as he talks about himself as a shepherd, he's still talking about that incident that we read about 2 weeks ago when Jesus found a man who had been blind since the day he was born, and Jesus healed him, but healed him in a way that ended up with his being exiled from the religious community that had otherwise had some kind of place for him. And so all of the relationships around this man had been broken, and Jesus went and he sought him out, and he found him, and brought him not back into the original community, but brought him into a new community, into a new set of relationships. So Jesus has been shepherding all along throughout the course of this story. And Jesus promises to do the same for us, to shepherd us. He promises to save us from sin in all of those guises. And like a shepherd, he puts his own life between us and the wolves. He puts his own life between us and those forces that would come and take our life in God away. Now, that moment of self-giving, kind of the iconic moment of self-giving, is on its way, but the reality of Jesus' self-giving for us is already here as we live through this story right now. We have a tendency to imagine that when Jesus talks about laying down his life, he's talking about Good Friday. But really, Jesus has been laying down his life since Christmas. Really, God has been laying down the incarnate life of Christ ever since he called to Abram and said, "Hey, Abram, get up and go because I'm going to make you a great people." Really, God has been laying down Christ's life in and for the world since the world began. Because everything about Jesus' life, not just that one event that takes place on a Friday, but everything about Jesus' life has been arranged in order to set us free from the powers of sin that would snatch our lives away and scatter us from relationship with God. Here's a little Greek for you, just so you don't think I'm making this up. That word that's translated here, lay down, when Jesus says, "I lay down my life," that word does not mean die a gory, violent death. That word, lay down, means set down. Means, or set up. Those kind of mean the same thing almost in English, right? It means kind of like to arrange one's life in the way that the elements for communion have been laid down here or set up here. They've been arranged for us. And Jesus is implying that his whole life has been arranged so that we might have life, so that we might have life abundantly. So Tom is right. You can't just lay down your life just the one time. Laying down your life is about how you arrange your life, how your life is put together. And Jesus' life has been put together for us, at least since the incarnation and long before. He came to dwell in a human body so that God might dwell with us. He came and called us to follow so that we might know where God is leading us. He came to teach and to heal so that God's presence in the world might be revealed to us. Jesus' whole life reflects that God who sent him into the world. His whole life is arranged on God's authority. And Jesus' authority, all of the amazing power with which he acts in the world, his authority comes as a response to God's authority in him. And so when Jesus finds a crowd starving in the wilderness, he feeds them because God intends liberation and freedom for us, and that includes freedom from hunger. When Jesus finds a social outcast who is trying desperately to see him as he passes by, Jesus stops the parade and invites himself over for dinner, because nothing is more important to God than seeking and saving the lost. When Jesus finds a celebration that has run out of joy or a ritual structure that has run out of its sense of a future, Jesus upsets the way things are because God intends life and hope for the world. Wherever Jesus goes, as you read these stories of Jesus in the world, wherever he goes, you find that he's moving as if his entire life is an answer to this question: What is God, the eternally faithful God, about to do here in the world? What is the eternally faithful God about to do right here and right now in this world? Now, I don't pretend to know how Jesus did that. I don't pretend to know how it is that Jesus arranged his life such that he was able to be that perfect expression of God's loving presence in the world. Preachers who do try to describe how Jesus did it usually just describe what they would like to do. But here's what I do see in the stories. When I read the stories, I see that Jesus is always praying. I see that he knows Scripture as if he is within Scripture, which of course he is, but he knows Scripture so intimately. I see that he is always gravitating toward the people who are on the edges, the people who are out past where we might have thought the edge was. And he lives like he's got absolutely no interest in our power structures, the temporal authorities that define this world. He's got no time for that. Jesus moves through the world at this strange, unique pace. This strange pace where it's like he can always see eternity right there in front of him, but he can also see the immense sacred value of the immediate present moment as he moves through the world. That's what it means for the transcendent to be incarnate in one life, in one moment. Jesus moves through the world as if he is deeply and perfectly connected to God's authority. It's like he's always listening to follow that one voice more than he follows any other voice in the world. His authority came from listening for God. Now, this is someone we can trust. This is someone we can trust because although Jesus will in 3 weeks tell us to lay down our own lives for each other, this story and that story too are ultimately about not us, but Jesus. And ultimately, we lay down our lives not just for the sake of each other, but we lay down our lives in order to follow him. And I think our habits for following Jesus might have something to do with those habits that Jesus lays out for us as he follows and lives out God's authority in the world. And so he does invite us to pray. And to pray, I think, especially by listening for what God may be about to say. Not that we're not allowed to say anything ourselves in prayer, but that God's voice comes eventually into that conversation, and it's our job to listen for it. We may want to learn special prayers. You may hold within you the 23rd Psalm, that great Good Shepherd Psalm that holds Jesus' shepherdhood together for us in such a rich and profound way. You may hold a much shorter prayer, something to the effect of, "You are the Good Shepherd." A prayer that you might be able to pull out in those moments when you need it, when you need to remember that there is a shepherd, that it does become okay, that we are held in God's love and God's grace, even in our moments of crisis and fear and need. We may also need to hold hands. We may also need to follow one another, to hold to one another. If you watch a flock of animals, whether they're sheep or some other kind of flock animal, most of them are not following the one leader. Most of them are following the animals right around them. And most of us can walk alongside with those of us who are right around us. We're listening for the voice of that one shepherd, but we are also attending to each other. As Jesus said, he intends that there be one flock and one shepherd. So maybe we follow by letting our neighbors know that we are there and reaching out to our neighbors when we need to know that someone is there. And sometimes we do need to just allow those extra voices to fall silent around us. Now I'm preaching to myself as if I wasn't before. Sometimes we have to just let those other voices fall silent so we can hear the voice of the shepherd, the one who is always softly calling to us. Sometimes we have to ask just where our life wants to make a little bit more room for that shepherd to lead us, and then do that, whatever room needs to be made in our lives. Now, the good news is that ultimately this story and ultimately this whole story has been about Jesus. It doesn't depend on us to make this story happen. Ultimately, all we are invited to do is to organize our lives to follow him, to follow that shepherd, and let this shepherd lead us into life, into self-giving love, into abundant joy, today and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.